Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. Today in our studio, I have two very special friends. I've known them for many years, and one of them worked with me in my occupation for a number of years. So I want to welcome Mark and Kayleen Potter. Welcome, you two. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to go ahead and talk about your mission experience. And you had a wonderful mission. So let's back all the way up. Mark and Kayleen, which mission were you called to?
We were called to serve in the Japan Sendai mission. And the fun thing about that is that's the mission that Mark served in as a young man.
Oh, that's great. So that probably brought back a lot of memories for you, right, Mark?
It did.
Tell me about your language capability, because I've heard so many missionaries say that when they've come home, they've lost their language. But what was that like? Were you able to get the language back quickly?
No, actually, it was pretty bad. I was hoping it'd be like, you know, riding a bike. You just hear it, and then it would be flooding back into your mind, but not so much.
So what did you have to do to get it back?
During the summer, before we ever went, we took language classes on the computer, and we also had a tutor that would call us and talk to us from the MTC. That helped quite a bit.
Oh, that's great. And Kayleen, how did you do with the language?
I love how you said that. Yeah, I had the same tutor, but mine didn't go as well. And I will have to disagree with Mark a little bit. His language skills were, I thought, were perfect. Like, it seemed like everybody he talked to in Japan from the minute we flew in understood everything he said, and he could tell me what they were talking about. So I don't know.
You know, we're always a little bit more critical
exactly.
of ourselves, though.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, well, great. So let's talk about your mission experience, because when you go as a couple, it's different than when you go as a young man or a young woman. So let's talk about those differences first. What did you notice that was different because you were going as a couple?
Well, one of the things is that we were called to serve in an office position. So that was what we went to do. Mark was actually called to be the financial officer in the office of the mission, and I was the secretary. So yeah, no proselyting. However, we were busy, weren't we?
Yeah, there were people that we taught English to that wanted to have the missionary lessons. And so they would either come to the mission home and meet with us there, or they would meet us at the church.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's tell your story. You were called to serve in the Japan Sendai mission, and you were called as office missionaries. What I want you to share with us today and our listeners are your highs, like some of the wonderful experiences that you had while you were serving your mission. And then you had some dramatic things happen while you were on your mission that I really want to get into today, and how that's impacted you, some wonderful miracles. So let's talk about like the highs that you just come to your mind about serving as a couple. What kind of things can you tell us about that?
Well, the first thing you need to know is that we had a mission motto, and every time we left the mission office, we would mention the motto, and the missionaries were encouraged to use the motto too. And the motto was, let's go see miracles.
I like it.
So, honey, tell them every time you went out to go to the bank, what did you say and why?
Well, banking in Japan is a little bit different. They're very strict about how their checks are to be filled out and the deposit slips and everything. And I don't write or read Japanese very well. So we had a Japanese lady in the office that did all the Japanese writing for me. So I'd walk out to go make a deposit or whatever, and I'd say, well, let's go see miracles, and then I'd head out across the street to the bank.
That was one of the miracles that we saw every day.
They took it.
He'd come back in smiling and waving his deposit slip. He had some people, one young woman in particular that came by the mission home and the mission office, and she wanted to learn English. And of course, we speak English. And so we had her in our home, to learn, to hear the mission lessons and to learn English, right? Mm-hmm. We knew we were teaching her English, but we asked her, would it be good, okay with you if we share the gospel? And of course she was open to that and became, you know, what would we say, golden. Mm-hmm. She just could hardly wait until we met every week. Was usually once or twice a week in our small little apartment and taught her the gospel. And
she was from Shanghai in China, and she was there getting a master's degree in chemical engineering.
Hmm.
And learning English with us on the side. I mean, she was very, very smart.
And so the spirit was there.
Every time, yeah.
Every time she came to our home, we were just so touched by her desire to have the gospel in her life and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she wanted to share it with her family. The only thing that she was from Shanghai, right? And China is not open to missionary work, right? Or even to the church, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would say, What am I going to do when I have to go back to China? What will I do, you know? And we could just assure her that the Lord knew her, that God knew who she was, and that she would be fine when she went back. So that was a touching thing. And her whole baptism was an experience for another time, too.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So she did end up getting
baptized. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was so excited to be baptized.
Mm, that's great. Let's talk about coming home. You mentioned, you said we came home. So you came home earlier than you had anticipated. Let's talk about how that all came to fruition. What was going on? And how long had you been out?
You know what? We'd only been out 4 months. And I'm going to talk through a lot of this because we remember things differently. And some of the things that Mark doesn't remember at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were only about 4 months into our mission and in our small apartment. I started to notice things that Mark would do, like he would leave the water running in the sink, or he'd leave the refrigerator door open. There was one day when we always prayed before we ate and every night. And this one day we sat down to the table and he said, "Will you say it?" And I said, "Of course." And I bowed my head and started to say my prayer on the food, and he started to eat. And I was like, "What?"
I kept eating right through her prayer.
What did you do when you finished praying?
I was just freaked out. I looked at him and I said, "What are you doing? What were you doing?" And he said, "I was eating." I said, "I know, but I was praying. You don't eat while I pray."
So I was hungry.
That's true. He was. He was really hungry, I guess. Anyway, that was the first concern that I had all of a sudden, you know, and my father passed away of Alzheimer's disease. And so at first I thought, is he getting early onset Alzheimer's? Like, it just blew me away. I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was just baffled by it. So, of course, I just began to pray, what am I going to do? Here I am, you know, so many thousands of miles away from home. I don't speak the language. And it just happened at that particular time, the mission president and his wife, who are native Japanese, by the way, were away on some training in Guam, and they weren't even there, but I was so concerned. I was just, and I knew I had to get some help somewhere. So I decided the next day we had scheduled to take the mission van, and go north to drop off some bicycles to some missionaries north. And I was so concerned about him driving, which I was concerned about him driving anyway, because I drive on the left side of the road.
Right. Did you share any of the concerns with him, or did you just hold them to yourself?
I think I just held them in and prayed that he wouldn't want to go take the bikes, because I was just afraid we were going to get so far from the office and how would we ever make it back? And so I don't think I really shared any of those with him, but I just prayed so hard that we wouldn't have to go. I didn't know what was going to keep us. But the interesting thing is that the APs were going north for some training for some other missionaries. And they called me the next morning that we were supposed to take the van out. They called me and they said, "Sister Potter, we're not going to be home today." And I said, I mean, inside I'm jumping like, yes, thank you. You know, thank you, Heavenly Father. They said we knelt to pray and ask if we should come home tonight. And we just got the feeling that we shouldn't, that we should stay here with these elders up here. And I said, I know why. You got that answer. And that freed me up. That was a Thursday mm-hmm. morning. That freed me up then to take Mark and see if we could find some help, somebody. So, you know, being an American, what do? You just drive. And here's the other, another miracle is that I was driving in Japan. Because here's the other thing. He did not, it seemed to me like he was going to kill us in the car. Like he was just drifting to the left. It seemed to me like, uh-huh. like, so I was like, you know what? The only way I'm going to survive this mission is if I learn to drive in Japan. So I was ready to take my driving. I had an international driver's license, but I was getting ready to take my driver's test in, and so I just said to him the next morning, get in the car. We're going to go find the hospital.
What did you think of that, Mark?
Well, there was a hospital just a block from our apartment, the Red Cross Hospital. Mm-hmm. And everybody we talked to said, don't go there. That's where you go to die. So the care there wasn't very good, apparently. But just a few more blocks down the street was the Tohoku University Hospital. There was a cancer clinic there. And
it's renowned worldwide for its, you know, research so capabilities.
Did you just go to that one because
I wish I knew. I've often thought about why did I go to that one? But I know we had talked about it because, again, we passed the Red Cross Hospital every time we went on our walk or anything, you know, and we talked. But I didn't know where the research hospital was. I had no idea. So we just Googled it that morning before we got ready to leave. Because we had GPS, but I didn't understand the Japanese on it, you know.
Right.
When it would talk to us, I didn't know whether we were going right or left. So I just Googled it on the computer in the office and printed it off and went to find it. And then, again, another miracle is that we had passed this hospital every time we went to church. But I didn't know that's what it was. Mm. I couldn't read mm-hmm. the signs.
It was just a big gray building.
Yeah. I had no idea. And so when we pulled up to it, I was like, oh, this is amazing, you know. And being Americans, what do? I look for the emergency room, right? Uh-huh. There isn't one there. Like, that's not what they do. Hmm. In Japan, you go see your family doctor, and then you get a referral after a month or two, right? And then possibly go. So we walked into this hospital right in the middle of this busy, bustling research hospital and just look around, and there's no desk that I can mm-hmm. see. Finally, a little young man, not little, but he's a young man, and he ran up to us. He was wearing scrubs, and in Japanese, he asked Mark what we needed. Did we need help? And he told him, yes, we need help. And so he pointed us toward the front door. And as we approached that area, of course, by now, I'm crying, which I do on a regular basis anyway, but I was so stressed about this. How was I going to get him some help? And as we approached that area, a young lady came over to us. She was like...
Mid-20s.
Yeah, like maybe a candy striper. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what they would be in Japanese or in Japan, but she approached us and she spoke to Mark and she said, what's wrong with her?
And I said, I'm the patient.
In Japanese, he goes, she thinks it's me, that I'm the one with the problem. And so then she turned to me and in perfect English, she said, how can I help you? What is wrong? And of course, that's all I needed, to just flood of tears. Right. And so before I even can explain what the problem was, I said to her, your English is so good. Where did you learn your English? Because we're in Sendai, even though it's a huge city of like 2.5 million people, it's not like being in Tokyo. Like everybody speaks English and mm-hmm. it's a tourist location, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just said to her, where did you learn your English? And she looked at our name badges. And she said, at your church.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
She wasn't a member of our church, but she had learned English by attending the classes at our church. Neat. So what a miracle that we find somebody who's willing to speak to us.
Right.
And so she then said to me, what do you need? And I said, I need a neurologist. And the reason I knew that is because we'd had a daughter that had had some struggles early on in her life. And so I knew that a neurologist is who we needed first. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, you can't come here for that. You need to go see your doctor and then come, you know, maybe he can send you back or whatever. Get a referral. And I said, well, I don't have a doctor. Please, can you give me the name of some neurologist right here in this area? And the reason I wanted to find someone in that area is because we had a church. But I just told her, I need a neurologist right here. And my thinking was, if she would give me a name of somebody
close by,
that maybe they would refer us back to this research hospital. That was seriously going through my mind this whole time. I just feel like the Lord was directing our path. Mm-hmm. I know he was just leading us along. And she came back, and I still have it. It's a newspaper, and in pencil she wrote the name of a doctor that was nearby, a neurologist. And I just grabbed that newspaper and stuffed it into my purse and thanked her. And then we walked out and got in the car. The thing about the car is that there were a lot of one-way streets around the hospital. And so as we came out, we were going a different direction, and I hadn't bothered to check the map to see how to get back. I was just worried about getting at the hospital, mm-hmm. not getting back. And so when we pulled out and we were on a one-way street, I was lost, and our GPS was of no use to us, no value. And so I said to Mark, well, we're just going to pray. And so we started to pray, and just with our eyes open, you know, going down the road, and I'd say, I feel like we need to turn here. And he'd say, I feel that way too. I think we need to turn here. So we'd turn, and then we'd keep going a ways, and I'd say, oh, I think we need to turn here. The Spirit's telling me we need to turn here. And he'd say, yeah, okay, I think we need to turn here. And we turn. And, you know, we made it all the way back to the office that way. Towards the end, I finally started to recognize some mm-hmm. of the places, because I told you we'd gone that mm-hmm. way to church. Mm-hmm. But coming out, it had thrown me for a loop. I didn't know where we were. By the time we got back that night, Mark said, I think you need to find someone who speaks the language. You need to find someone who speaks Japanese to go with us the next day. Mm-hmm. And I was going to go find that doctor. So
let's jump ahead here mm-hmm. a little bit. So you found a doctor, and that doctor referred you to another doctor, or
mm-hmm. he did a CT scan.
Okay. So you had a CT scan right there.
Right there. I mean, that's another miracle. That we could walk into that office. There wasn't another soul in that office. We had no appointment. We just walked in. But again, we had found this native speaking mm-hmm. sister who was willing to leave everything that she'd been doing that day. She's a member of the church, mm-hmm. and she was planning a big family history fair. And she was willing to just go with us. And she walked in and said, you know, I've got some friends here from America that need a doctor.
Hmm. So the CT scan, tell us what it showed.
It showed I had a tumor right above my right eye, about the size of a golf ball. And then that doctor said, okay, I'm going to send you back to the university hospital, to Dr. Saito.
He spoke to us in Japanese. He came out into the waiting area after he had shown us the scans and told us through the interpreter, you know, what was going on. And when he walked into the office to tell us again what he had found, he spoke Japanese, and I understood every word he said.
Which was, don't stay here, go somewhere else.
Yeah, which
was, he said?
No, he said, I'm going to refer you to the hospital, the Tohoku University Hospital. There is a neurosurgeon there who speaks English, and he's working today.
He was trained in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. And he's working today, and he's going to see patients, he said. He's going
to
see you.
And so you were able to go right that
minute.
Oh, my goodness.
Right that minute. And this sister drove us over, and I was telling her the story about the lady who had helped us that had learned English at our church. I thought that was such a miracle. And I was just, the clouds, the skies were opened up to me, you know, because it was raining. And I was just so happy that we could finally get Mark some help, you know, that I felt like he needed. Right. So happy. So I'm telling her the story of this gal. And I said, oh, if I ever saw her again, I would just throw my arms around her and thank her for the service. The minute we walked into that hospital, she was the first person I saw. So I went running over to her and threw my arms around her, and she said, you're back. You're back. And I said, yeah, we're back for good this time, for real, you know.
So let's talk about your feelings. The doctor told you that you had a tumor. Everyone knows that that kind of thing is serious. And here you are serving the Lord on a mission, doing probably, you know, what you should be doing, doing your best at it. For some people, that might impact how they believe or what they believe in God, in that they're thinking, here I'm doing everything that I know I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm being punished. What were your thoughts?
No, nothing like that.
No, we never, ever thought that.
I was disappointed when I thought, well, I'm going to have to go home now. Because there were still some people I was trying to find, and the places I wanted to drive Kayleen to see.
So your biggest disappointment is you knew when they told you that news that you thought, now I'm going to have to go home.
Yeah.
I think that was my biggest disappointment too. I never felt like the Lord was punishing us for anything. If it was the opposite, we were so blessed.
So anyway, the receptionist gal, she invited us up to Dr. Saito's office, and he had the CT scan, and he ordered an MRI, and so we got the MRI done, and then he came down and talked to us in English, and we told him that we were missionaries and all that stuff. But he showed us the tumor on the MRI, and you can see it was huge. And then he said, we're going to keep you here in the hospital. I can't let you go home now. It's dangerous to fly with a tumor in your head.
He said, I'll take it out tomorrow.
So did you have that surgery out there?
No.
Talk to me about that. Let's hear what happened.
About midweek, he came in and said, we've got the swelling done enough that we can send you home on an airplane. You can fly without dying. But he said, you've got to find a hospital and a doctor that'll take you right away and do this surgery the way it needs to be done. So she got on the phone and talked to the doctor over all the missionaries in Northeast Asia.
You know, that's what I was doing in the office. That's the amazing thing, is I was working with the travel area there in Tokyo, the area office, you know, just to get missionaries their flights and take care of things like that. So I knew who to talk to. Mm-hmm. And of course, by then our mission president was back and he was very involved.
But anyway, he came in and said, well, I think talking to you and realizing it would be better if you went home and had brain surgery in English and not Japanese. And we said, yeah, it would be nice. Mm-hmm. We'd had some funny experiences with the nursing staff anyway already, just because their English was not conversational. It was medical English, and my Japanese was not medical Japanese. It was only gospel Japanese. So they'd ask me to do stuff, and I didn't know what they're talking about. And all the nursing staff were these tiny 5-foot-nothing, 110-pound Japanese girls, and they called me the giant. And their wheelchairs were from the Barbie collection. I mean, they were just tiny. And they'd get me out of bed, put me in a wheelchair, and then one of them would push me down the hallway, and her feet would be sliding, you know, trying to get some traction and get me going. And then when I got into the MRI, and they told me to stand up and get ready to lay down, the one behind me had her hands up like this so that she could catch me in case I fell. And there was another one in front of me doing the same thing, had her hands up. And I thought, oh boy. If I start to go, you girls just get out of the way, because I didn't fall and they didn't have to catch me, but it was just, they were so courageous and they were ready to, if I did fall.
Yeah, so we were able to get tickets and fly right home. That I think you were in the hospital a week.
Yeah.
And we got released on a Tuesday and flew home. It took 24 hours to get from Sendai to Las Vegas. And then our daughter picked us up in Las Vegas and drove us home, and we drove right to the hospital.
Wow.
So.
And I remember you telling me that one of the other miracles that you had experienced is they told you, oh, there's a new cancer center being built in St. George, Utah.
Yeah, can you believe that? That's where I'm from. Yeah, where do you want to go? They said when they were, you know, where should we find this doctor? Oh, by the way, there's one of the best right there in St. George, Utah. You know, we just opened a cancer center there. So.
Which is wonderful.
Another miracle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it sounds like, you know, as you see the Lord's hand in all of this, even though there's a lot of anxiety and maybe even trauma, as you start to deal with the frustrations that mortal life can give you, you see the hand of God even more.
Even more.
Which is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we came home and we went right to the emergency room at the hospital, and they checked us in there and did a CT scan.
So you're home now and you're going to have the surgery. You're going to have the best medical care available to you. But you still have this mission in your thoughts. Tell me what your feelings were about coming home early.
You know what? Again, I didn't want to leave. We loved Japan and the culture and the people. And what a blessing it was for me to be able to see the places that he went as a young man. And now all of a sudden all those names made sense to me, you know. And we went to one of the wards. I remember one Sunday we were just visiting and one lady came up to him and said, "Elder Potter, you were here, you know, how many years ago? 40 years ago. You were here when I got baptized."
Oh my goodness.
You know, so fun to see those things.
What a tender mercy. Thanks for sharing that. You know, I appreciate you sharing your testimony all throughout this podcast, but you know what I really want to hear from you is your feelings and maybe even your testimony up till now about how you've seen God in your life even up till now. How have you seen that in your life? What have you noticed as you've gone through this health crisis? Some of the major points that you could think, okay, he's by me. He's near me. What can you share with me on that?
We saw God's hand in every step of the way coming home. And then we saw it every step of the way since then. You know, even down to the details, the minute details of our lives, the fact that our children were living in our home. They were going to be there in our home until we got back from our mission. And we were able to come home and have a place to live while he was ready to...
And help.
And help. Yeah. We could live in our own basement, you know. Yeah, and even... 2 months after he's had major brain surgery, he said to me, "I'm ready to go back. Let's go back to Japan." And I'm like, no, I don't think they'll let you do that because you're going through chemotherapy and radiation and all of this stuff. But let's see what we can do from home. Can we serve from home? So... we talked to our stake president, and our stake president talked to somebody. And the next thing we knew, we had a visit from the mission president of the Utah St. George Mission.
Oh, my goodness.
He came right to our home, and he called us to serve in the office in the Utah St. George Mission.
So your mission wasn't over. It was just extended.
It wasn't over. Can you believe that? What a blessing. What a huge blessing for us to be able to finish that mission. So yeah, we came home early And it wasn't the same mission that we'd had before. And it wasn't with those good people that we loved so much. But you know what? We learned to love the people here in St. George. And the church is true here, too. And they had missionaries that were baptizing people and listening. And
oh, that's wonderful.
And even got to know a couple of girls that were serving in the Temple Visitor Center from Japan. So,
is that right? Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
So, can you believe how the Lord blessed us to be able to serve our full mission?
Yes, as missionaries come home from COVID, you know, happening a worldwide pandemic, you're probably thinking, I can relate to
different circumstances, but yeah, same thing. We were able to finish it. So,
let me ask you another question. You know, there's going to be probably your posterity who hears this podcast.
I hope they do.
But there's going to be other people who hear this podcast as well. What kind of things do you think you would like your posterity to know from this experience that you've gone through in your life?
Look to God. He is there for you. And find the good. There's so much good. So many good people. They're not all of our faith, but they're good. And they're looking for faith too. And stay hopeful. Strong and firm to your faith. That's probably what got us through. But I can't tell you how many prayers were said on our behalf and by us. And I'll never forget kneeling by my bedside after leaving Mark at the hospital, because the minute I took him, I wasn't able to bring him home until we flew out. So I went back to that apartment by myself and knelt by my bed and ask the Lord to help me be able to do the things I needed to do to get us home and to take care of my husband and our family. And then I opened my scriptures, because that's what we did every day. And so I just opened to where we had been reading. And to be honest, I couldn't even tell you where that was in the Book of Mormon, but I just started to read. And I was taught that this isn't the only life, that there's another life to come, and that we needed to keep our covenants and live worthily, and the Lord would bless us.
Love it. Thank you for sharing that. Mark, what would you like your posterity to know?
Even the little things, that the Lord's hand is there. We flew out of Sendai and went to Tokyo Airport. But somebody met us at every airport with a wheelchair and our flight number, and took us right straight to the connecting flight. We didn't have to worry about any of our connections, which was good, because Haneda is a huge airport, and they moved us around without any problem.
Well, I just want you to know how much I appreciate the opportunity to interview you and to hear about these sacred experiences that you've had in your life. And we also want to thank our listeners for joining us. We hope you learned something from this episode and from these beautiful testimonies. Have a blessed day and find our Heavenly Father in your own life. Thanks for joining us on the Family Story Podcast. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast, or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.